Welcome to the AWS Industrial Insights Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Ladarzak.
And I'm your host, Doug.
With each episode, we bring you an inspiring leader with practical advice to help you solve your toughest business challenges. Because we believe that sometimes, all it takes is one big idea or one piece of wisdom to change your business forever. So thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's show. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining. This is the AWS Industrial Insights Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Ladarzak, and I'm here with our co-host, Doug Bellin. Doug, say hi.
Hey, everybody. Good chatting with you.
I'm really excited about today's topic. Our podcast today is titled Prevention Through Design, Enhancing Workforce Safety with a Digital Twin. And our guest is from Amazon today. And, you know, one thing I wanted to point out.
Hey, Scott, wait a minute. What do you mean by Amazon? Aren't we Amazon? We're Amazon Web Services here. So how can we be interviewing ourselves?
Doug, great question. So, you know, it's important to point out that from an Amazon Web Services perspective, although we're all part of Amazon, we treat Amazon as a customer. So the fulfillment center work we do and making customers happy every day, you know, we treat Amazon as a customer of ours. So, I kind of look at this as a not an internal speaker, but really a customer of Amazon Web Services. So
I think that's clear. And I think that's good to help delineate with our customers, because people look at Amazon and don't understand sometimes the differences between Amazon and Amazon Web Services, and the fact that we do support and we're really created due to the needs and wants of what Amazon had. So thank you. Good.
Right. Got it. Well, cool. So yeah, our speaker's name today is Shreya Hegde. Hello, Shreya. Thank you for joining. Maybe you can take a moment to introduce yourself, tell us your title, what you do, and maybe give us some kind of insights into your background.
Hello. My name is Shreya Hegde, as Scott already said. I'm a senior technical product manager at Amazon in reliability and maintenance engineering org. Before joining Amazon, I have been in product management for quite some time, 13 or more years, in B2B and B2C space, building technical products. I'm very excited to be here talking to you both and our audience today.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining. You know, so our podcast is around digital twins. So I guess, you know, what does this mean to you? I guess, from a high level, you know, we've heard a lot about digital twins over the years, and we do a lot of work in the space too. But maybe talk to us a little bit about, you know, what does enhancing workforce safety with a digital twin mean to you, Shreya?
Sure. I think I can answer in two folds, particular to my use case of prevention through design and coming to enhancing workforce using digital twin. So for prevention through design, particularly for me, is about proactively addressing safety and maintenance risk at the early stages of design. It's about integrating a safety consideration into the very fabric of the project. So be it a physical system or a piece of equipment or even process, so that the potential safety hazards are reduced or even eliminated to that point before even they arise. And the second fold of your question, which is leveraging digital twin, what does that mean to us? So our org has been focusing on using advanced technologies to solve customer problems. In terms of advanced technology, even the digital twin aspect of it, we always saw that as a means to using real-time data-driven models to create virtual replica of a physical environment. It could be sites, it could be equipment, as I said earlier. So by this, we can simulate or at least identify real-world scenario and access issues and what some design flaws could lead to, how unsafe the work situation is, and refine the design to ensure the safety practices from the start. When I say start, it means even before you launch the site or fulfillment center in your case, if you have to consider the wording. So like how our organization leadership says, for us, safety is a fundamental or foundational element. It's not an afterthought. So that's what the prevention through design means to us. And that's how we plan to leverage a digital twin in this space.
So Shreya, if I can ask a question real quick. You're really looking at the digital twin, not from a process standpoint, but from a safety, employee, even training capabilities, I would assume, to ensure that when even as we're designing the facility, that we're doing it with safety in mind, we're looking at the type of capabilities from there. Is that correct?
Correct.
Because I think people get very confused about what a digital twin is. So that's kind of what I'm trying to get to is we're looking at it truly from a safety standpoint to drive into those capabilities.
Correct. So if I have to give an example, so let's say during the design of the site, they're placing several equipments, electrical equipments, mechanical equipments that we have at sites today. And it could be positioned in certain way that when our associates or technicians move around, it could possibly lead to some safety concerns. Like it could be confined space. Hey, because you placed certain things 4 inches nearer to what we originally designed, now someone cannot get into that space. It could harm him in a certain way. The impact could be, you know, minor to severe. So having access to that, to identify this could lead to a problem, will ensure that the respective team can take care of it. So that's what the fundamental aspect of this.
Right. I guess, Doug, you brought up a good point, which is, you know, a lot of time, and that's, we've been talking about digital twins for years, but we typically have been using it from a standpoint of a digital twin of a factory line, as an example, and adjusting parameters to see what happens to our outputs or machine availability or whatever, right? So this is kind of a twist on what we've been talking about for years in digital twin, yeah?
Yep.
Okay. So I guess, Shreya, Let's dive into, you know, how is AWS involved? So what is Amazon Web Services doing? What tech teams are involved? What do partners have to play in what you've discussed? Maybe give us kind of some of the background at a high level of those topics.
Sure. So for prevention through design, the safety use case, we work with multiple teams, as RME as an org. And then there is safety coming into the picture, then design and construction, then of course AWS, because they are the one who is solving our problems here. The way we did this, or we can do this in two means. One, we can take that image file or use a vendor to take the video of a site. And the site is like we have a downtime window concept when the equipments are not running or the site is not active, people are not around. The vendor takes the video of the site and records, and that will be used in the TwinMaker service. So number two, we can also use the building information material, which is basically a collection of, I could say, structural, electrical, mechanical, and plumbing, all sorts of materials, the building materials, and we kind of compose that to make it as one file and convert that file and place it in AWS, the TwinMaker service. So from here, the AWS team, technical team, picks it up. We are just in the beginning of this process. So what they did, they built a solution on top of it based on our custom needs, especially for this use case. So they were involved in the solution and architecture part of it, if that answers your question, Scott.
Sure. You had mentioned a partner in there. Who was that partner that helped you with the video capture as well as the building information capture files?
It's a vendor named Matterport.
Okay,
Matterport. Yep. So I guess the way I'm understanding this then from an Amazon Web Services standpoint, we're using AWS IoT TwinMaker as one of the services being leveraged here. I assume we're using storage because we've got to store these files and this data. Any other services that are kind of in play to ultimately create the digital twin with partner Matterport?
AWS, when they're architecting, they used possible several solutions ranging. It depends on the use case again. For analytics, they used a different service. They have a lot of choices, I assume. So based on the use case, so
a number of different services, I guess.
Number of different services for storage, for
the core
data
was,
processing.
The core was TwinMaker, correct? That was kind of the
correct.
Capture of everything. And TwinMaker was kind of the hub that then off of that hub, you could then say, okay, I want to use QuickSight to do this, or I want to use other things. And then TwinMaker also pointed back to Matterport and building management systems to help us bring everything together into a single holistic view. Because even right there, we just talked two or three different vendors, which then have two or three different data sets, but you don't have to open up two or three different things, do you?
No, we don't. For us, it's the TwinMaker service.
Cool. Talk to us about how this might, improve collaboration, or, what are the other benefits or things that we can expect out of this? Because I would imagine a lot of manufacturing facilities could really relate to some of the things we're talking about here. So can you talk to how it might improve collaboration between the teams, or maybe does it affect commissioning on facilities? Talk to us about that.
That's a good question, actually. We did work with a lot of other teams, starting with procurement, construction and design, and safety, legal, privacy and security, and even the vendor services. So from my personal experience on this one, we kind of had this concept of shared goals of where we wanted to go. My organization's leadership focuses a lot on safety of the technicians or associates. So we wanted to get to that, and we kind of, in the beginning of the project, we had this conceptually that here is what we want to do and here is how we are planning to do it, and what is your thought on this or your roles on this. So one thing that we saw was the group was diverse. They were able to contribute to a different innovative problem solving methods on this is how we can solve this, number one, and number two. And it was a very open communication and knowledge sharing fostering, I could say. And also, there was a lot of mutual learning, because before this, I did not know anything about the digital twin service and how it could be used and how the solution architecture solves this problem, and how the design and construction files can be combined for digital twin to use this file and more. So adding to that, the different diverse expertise, I got to learn a lot. Input from multiple teams and decisions are well-rounded. Definitely the accountability factor of it, right? Where we are working together, but every individual or the team is responsible for a certain task. And so basically we kind of know that the other team is relying on how we are accomplishing or completing this. So in numerous ways, the collaboration was wonderful, a very good learning experience, and it was diverse from a various perspective, from a knowledge perspective, and from the geographical or the area. For example, the same file, how it is stored in Europe versus North America is different. It was a little different learning curve for us to get through that phase. So that's a very wonderful collaboration, I would say.
Are you able to see if this actually helps with, you know, what you're talking about is the design aspect, and then hopefully we're able to see some safety issues and kind of a decrease in some recognizable safety problems that we have from facility A to facility K or something like that. But did it also help with actually opening up the facility? So did it shrink that time frame, or is that not something that you are aware of?
Right, right. The commissioning time is what we're getting at, right? Like, does it, because I would imagine maybe previously, Shreya, you know, we had to wait for a facility to be built, then someone had to literally go in and walk around and look at stuff to try to figure out where hazards might be. So did this kind of, you know, shortcut that and speed things along?
So let me answer in, you know, twofolds again. So one, commissioning, we are not considering commissioning as part of this. Surprisingly, as a result of this POC prevention through design, there was a new use case that came up from my org, which my colleague is handling now, saying that, hey, if we can achieve this using for prevention through design, this should help in commissioning. So there is a whole use case, virtual commissioning, that will be taking place soon because of this result. So it's a very huge win for us.
We're not tracking it from it decreased time by a week or by 3 days or 4 days or anything from there. We're really seeing it truly from understanding where the safety issues are, and we're able to mitigate that factor from the beginning versus potentially having to go rework that problem.
Oh, yes, that's a huge point. Actually, there is it's going to be a lot more efficient because of this. It's a good thing that you brought this up. So currently, or previously, I could say that there used to be, you know, upward of 7 to 9 visits that a safety personnel would visit a site during this design phase. So he would go there and make a note of things where he thinks that this could be a flawed design. And he would come back and do the manual assessment that involves, hey, what's the probability of this happening? And if this happens, what is the impact? And how many times this could happen? So and so. And the list goes on. It will give you a good assessment on the problem or the design flaw A would lead to so and so. And this is the result. And this is the impact. Okay, this impact may be minor. So do we need to do anything about that? And same way, if the impact is higher, where it could be severe, they would take necessary action. But the whole process of this, of a safety personnel traveling to the site multiple times, with this use case of digital twin, leveraging digital twin, would reduce drastically, I would say. I wouldn't say it would completely stop, but maybe 70% they don't have to travel. So they can remotely assess, hey, something is placed a certain way. Like there is a 100-pound of a suspension, dropping above the head. And this is the bad design. And then we can say that, hey, that needs to be stopped completely and we need to place it somewhere else. So this, they don't have to go there and manually assess. And this can be done remotely. This can be like the impact of the a flawed design can be simulated. And number three, now you can do all the assessment on top of this solution. That is the whole bread and butter, or the core of this prevention through design solution that we are building. So once we have the digital twin of a site, we are building a solution on top of it. The solution also includes the assessment, the automated assessment instead of manual. So Thanks for that question, by the way. So that's pretty much the core, the heart of this problem and the solution of the project.
It may not be a day or two or three timing that we're saving, but it's saving travel. It's saving the people going out there doing it. But it's also, you're able to document those learnings and keep those learnings, which is a very big thing.
I guess I was kind of thinking through, you know, how this could really benefit, especially on new facilities, right? I mean, the traditional way, you build the facility, somebody goes, well, wait a minute, there's a, you know, conveyor that's going up to the third floor and there's a motor up there. If that motor ever goes, it's going to be really hard to replace based on the way we built this facility. Like, a lot of that didn't come together until things were built. And it seems now with this kind of a solution, it gives teams more time. They can be more thorough. They can look at all these scenarios, right, well in advance, as opposed to whatever, 10 years ago, well, let's build this facility and then we'll start wandering around and try to figure out where we need to, you know, improve things and make things better. So I think this is something that a lot of manufacturers and a lot of people building facilities can benefit from. So anyway.
Each one of those change requests probably costs a lot of money. So if you can get it up earlier, that's always good. We all know.
Oh, yeah. totally. And if you could, if I could add one more point to that, the travel comment that you made, Doug. So it's, in addition to travel, the other thing that the way we are benefiting, it's also the opportunity cost, right? In that time, a personnel could focus on a lot more tasks that would benefit our customers, our in-house associates, because and the safety is paramount here. By identifying these flaws in the current site and preventing that from happening in the future, hey, I did this ever in the last building, let's not repeat this. So that is conceptually and practically in the future, we are targeting to decrease any amount of risks or incidents happening from in the future. So that's a huge win for us.
One of the things I'm interested in is the effort required. I mean, I think you talked about it a little bit, but from what I've seen with some of these partner solutions before, in an existing facility, you know, they strap this kind of camera to their back and they walk around the facility. One of our partners does, that is. And that's what we use to help create the digital twin. But I think there's other ways and other angles you can get at this problem, right?
Yes. So I would say the effort would vary from use case to use case, especially the place where I'm coming from. I'm thinking of it from a development and design, the software perspective. Are you talking about the overall effort from the beginning, from the time we start, think of using this, where the collaboration between the teams are required, or is it just the development and design part of it?
What I was trying to angle towards is, I think you had mentioned previously that you can use construction files as an example, or drawings and data, as opposed to the more traditional way I've seen this kind of digital twin stuff get launched is with this camera, right? It's a camera mounted on a person and they kind of walk around. But I think you mentioned you can actually do the same kind of a thing with construction files. Is that correct?
Correct. Today, we keep on 2D and 3D files of a building. And we have electrical drawings of it, mechanical, plumbing, structural, and more. So what we do, the AWS in collaboration, design and construction, and the reliability engineering organization, so we combine those files. And if I'm not wrong, the file format is called as GLTF. So once we have the files converted to GLTF format, and it's easy peasy. So basically, the AWS the digital twin maker team takes it and they make the 3D of it, and we can build the solution on top of it. Very similar to how we would do it using the vendor solution. So the only difference would be the image file where they go with the camera and record the whole the site. It would look more realistic. But the construction files is for someone who's a subject matter expert. So they know in and out of how the building is or the site is. So it's from the look wise, it's more grayish looking, but the solution and the outcome will be pretty. It's the same.
So Sharia, you said one thing that this is the skeptic in me, and I know I work for a technology company, and we always talk about these things. You said one thing, easy peasy. Can you it goes back to Scott's question. Define easy peasy in here, and what is the effort to really do this? Is it as simple as, hey, I drag and drop this over and something magically happened on the back end so I don't have to do anything? Or was there a lot of work in there?
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, we're going to try and tie it out on this one, Shreya. This is more of a...
I take that back. It's a lot of work on the end. I'm sorry. So it's easy peasy for me because that's when my work stops. So that's what I was thinking from that perspective. My bad.
Right. But
that's perfect. No.
Yeah, it's a valid point, Doug. Like the idea, one of the questions we often get is, wait, this sounds great, but how big of an effort is this? So that's what I was trying to get to is, I'm sure there's a lot to this, but I guess where did the partner come into play? I assume Matterport was the partner you mentioned earlier. So they were in play through all of this and helping with the drawings and everything else required. Yes.
The Matterport came into the picture where they have to make a record of a site. So they took a record, and that's the part of easy-peasy came from. So they gave it to AWS and Surface to you.
Gotcha.
Yeah, well, that's good to define it that way as well. And I think it's, I think it's good for our listeners to hear it that way, saying, from your role and your view, it was easy-peasy because the partner had the integration and the steps and the capabilities to be able to do that, which then you're able to very quickly get into here, make that decision, see what's going on from that standpoint. So, again, there's a lot of skepticism in this market, and I think it's a good way to define that easy-peasy comment to get the believers out there a little bit as well.
Yep. There was a lot of effort, one from the AWS service to get that file and get this going, but it's also a managed service, right? So they can train the developers on how to build solutions on top of it. And there is more to it. And depends on the use case, how you want it, how you want it, and what do you want as part of this? Like there are, we will have analytical solutions, the reporting and all the insights built on top of it. So it was a lot of effort from the development side.
But that part's kind of taken care of for you. But so Shreya, you got into this a little bit already, but what's next? What do you see as the needs and the capabilities that maybe your management's looking for that you're looking to solve?
As a result of this proof of concept, we are assessing the impact, which our leadership think that it's very valuable. So we've also extended to a couple of other use cases to leverage the digital twin technology, as you said, the commissioning part and maybe a heat mapping of certain work. So as we move forward, we are thinking that we will make it part of our new innovation and leveraging digital twin technology to scale all the projects, to scale the solution.
Got it.
Cool.
Got it. Yeah. So I guess for new sources of information or for additional information, I'll point out that, Matterport is on the aws.amazon.com marketplace site. So you can learn more about Matterport there. Any other sources of information you can think of that they might want to go to, Shreya?
No, I think you have that covered. I think it's publicly available on the AWS Digital Twin sites as well, I believe, Scott.
Right. Okay. Well, good. Thanks for taking the time with us, Shreya. Really appreciate it. I think it's a really cool topic.
Thank you both,
too. Thank you very much.
Enjoyed our conversation.